Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The run is 13-0 for the Pelicans. Right side Moody, shoveled it to Draymond. Top of the key, three, he gets it right back. Draymond Green having an outstanding year from beyond the arc, shooting a career high 42.9.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
You know, I'm not the oldest guy. I might have an older soul, but I'm only 30 years old. Something that I've learned in my travels, you got to know yourself. You got to know your limits. You got to know when to fold them. Kenny Rogers, you got to know thyself, Dan. And I think the Warriors are a team that knows themselves better than probably, I would say, 90% of basketball teams in the NBA. And that's a big reason why, even when they have it, I wouldn't consider last night against the Pelicans like an on night. I think they were off, especially in the first half defensively. But they know exactly what they need to do, seemingly more than, again, the majority of basketball teams, of just what they, how they need to play to win. And I couldn't say that about the Warriors the last two seasons. They've found something early on here, and it feels like they have another level that they can get to.
Well, remember last year they played in more clutch games than anybody?
Yeah.
And I think they were 500 in those clutch games. And in seven games this year, they're 5-2. And I think a lot of that has to do with defense, specifically, confidence, and a belief that they're going to win the majority of their games. And I think that there's something to Steve Kerr when he says that he's recognizing similarities between the 2022 team and this team. Like, he continually goes there. And I think that there's, I just feel like it's one of those intangibles. It's not necessarily something you can, it's not an algorithm, it's not a stat, it's not a metric. You can't necessarily see it. So I know that like 3/4 of the audience are today's Gen Y, Gen X. Ooh, I need to see a stat. Sometimes winning in sports is just, it's a feel. And I think the Warriors have that locker room right. And I think that there's just a sense of confidence in just about every one of these games. By the way, speaking of Draymond Green, I'm a big fan of this guy.
Well,
but at the end of games, I don't have a lot of confidence in this guy. As Allen Iverson used to say, you know, your booty's getting a little tight. He has a tendency to get a little like...
You got lemon booty?
This he gets... At the end of games, it wasn't isolated to last night.
Sphincter shrinks.
He's the antithesis of Steph. He sort of has this...
Well, Curry's got his own turnover problems.
No, but late in games, I'm good with Steph Curry and the ball in his hands. I've never had that confidence with Draymond. Like, when he was inbounding that pass, I'm like, oh, I could see this coming.
Well, what was the play? I think it was in the Rockets game. There was a big play that Draymond threw away from an inbounds that allowed them, I think, to tie it. I'm not sure if it was against Houston, but yeah, Draymond has had some late game gaffes across his career, but they're also in that situation because of him. 888-957-9570 is the number. Warriors This Week. We got another hour. Again, every single Saturday, 9 to noon here on 95.7 The Game, chopping it up about the Dubs, about some, well, first hour's a little bit off the rails. You can go back and listen to the Odyssey app. Let's go to Skills in Vallejo. Wants to talk about free throwing. Actually, he's got an agreement with you, Dan. What's up, Skills?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, Dan, last segment you were talking about basically free throws. What can you do? I mean, when you start missing at that level, there's only so much you can do besides just keep practicing, keep working hard at it. I played basketball from the time I was 14 to the time I was 38. I've watched the NBA for 30 years. I've seen like some of the crazy things you see with free throws, for example. And we all know DeAndre Jordan, for example, is somebody who, you know, clank, clank, brick, clank, airball all his free throws. There was one year, though, where he shot 70% over a full season. It was the craziest thing. And then he went right back to clank, clank, brick, airball. Bruce Bowen 1 year shot 441 from beyond the arc, led the league in three-point percentage, and shot 40% from the line that same year.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Shaq that was a 622 free-throw shooter 1 year, as bad as he was every other year. So, I mean, like, the one thing I just don't want to see the Warriors do is start jacking up more threes to avoid getting fouled. Like, you know, like Boston, for example, is leading the league with 53s a game. I don't want the Warriors to get up there. They're already fourth with 41 three-point attempts per game. That's just 50 a game would be too many. More than what they're doing right now would be too many. And that's basically just a rambling point I want to make. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Skills. Yeah, I think the free throw shooting, it...
I think Steve Kerr would disagree with him.
About what?
Getting... You want more threes.
Yeah, I think that their goal was 50. I mean, they want to be Boston as far as attempts.
Yeah.
And I actually think that with not really... Curry and Wiggins are their two ISO players. Kuminga, you could throw in there. But he isn't getting as much run. And I don't know if he necessarily needs to if Wiggins is going to be the player he's been so far, which is averaging about 17.5 points in 27 minutes. He's shooting above 40% from three. Went 9 of 9 at the stripe last night. Had his first 30-point game of the season. Wiggins has been really good. But if they don't have a ton of ISO players on the floor at the same time, I actually think more threes is a way to just kind of cheat the game a little bit. Like it's a math game. You know, if you shoot 38, 39% from three the way they have so far this season, I actually think that they're going to try and get more up.
Yeah, and we can have a separate conversation about whether threes and what it is that it's doing to the game. There's a lot of people that feel as though it's sort of watering it down, and teams are really homogenous now.
Is that a shot at Lindy?
No.
Okay.
But let's see him shoot the three a little bit more. And Steph had an interesting interview. I don't know where I saw this, but he was pretty candid. And even he said that threes are sort of tainting the game in a negative way. So, you know, you could have that conversation. But the Warriors have to shoot it. That's what they do. And they got to shoot it at a high clip. You know, free throw shooting is just, it's a personal thing. It's just, I don't think you can coach it up. It's just, again, it's confidence. I've always wanted to do this. I want to challenge Rick Barry to a free throw shooting contest because one thing I can do is make my free throws. How old is Rick Barry now? Can
old.
He still make his free throws? I bet you still can.
Plays pickleball. I actually saw him at the Warriors. There was like a media pickleball tournament last year. Me and Whitley were partnered. I'd never played pickleball before in my life.
Mm.
We got mossed, but we got a chance to watch Rick Barry play like up front. Dude, he's a beast.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a cheat code because he's still 6'7", long limbs, pretty active. I don't know if he could beat him in a free throw shooting contest, though, Dan.
Well, I'm going to look it up right now.
He's 80 years old.
Oh.
He's 80?
Okay, well.
I think he still got you.
So he shot 90% in his career from the free throw line.
Good Lord.
Underhanded. He was one of the greatest to ever do it. I'm sure he could still shoot that granny thing, and I would love to get him in a one-on-one on a free throw shooting contest because that's one thing that I could do. I used to win those things in college. I won a free throw shooting contest. But anyways, just getting back to it. Yeah, it is. Thank you. It's a personal thing, man. It's not. I don't think you can call out a player and say, "Hey, man, you need to make your free throws, especially in a clutch moments." They know that. Just work on it.
No, I think that's true, but a player like Wiggins has to shoot 75%. Like they have to be at their career marks because Wiggins is the guy, along with, I'd say, Kuminga, who are probably your largest volume free throw shooters. Like Steph Curry is obviously shooting, you know, 95% of the line, but he's not going to get to the line probably more than 4 or 5 times a game. Over the course of the season, I think right now he's averaging 3.6 attempts. So the one thing about the Warriors that you never had to worry about, it felt like last year, Dan, would you say free throw shooting was a problem?
No.
They were actually in the bottom half as far as free throw percentage last season. But you never thought about it because in crunch time, which is typically when they apply, you had Curry and Klay on the floor. While Klay had his other deficiencies, he led the league in free throw shooting percentage. You know, back when they won the championship in 2022, Jordan Poole was also a 90% free thrower. So you always had guys on the floor that could make their foul shots. And so when Wiggins inevitably
I want to say in that 2022 year, they were bad also, collectively as a team.
I don't think they were one of the league's best. I could be wrong about that. But my point is that you had guys on the floor that could step to the stripe and make free throws. I think Draymond's a guy that, while he might not shoot 80% or 90%, I feel good with him in a big moment at the free throw line.
Draymond?
Yeah.
Really?
Draymond makes big shots.
Really?
Typically.
Qualify that a little more?
Well, you know, this season, well, what am I looking at here? The numbers would... Let me have this one. All right. well, he... Actually, I think he made a free throw yesterday to put it to four.
He missed like three of his last four free throws.
Yesterday?
He kept that door open with missing those two free throws, and then he... Yeah, he...
Well, he's not Anthony Davis.
He's... The end of games, there's certain guys where you just have a sense of confidence if the ball's in their hand.
You know who I don't want shooting free throws late in the game? Your boy.
Jackson Davis, yeah.
Trace Jackson Davis.
That's never been a strength of his.
Throws line drives at that thing.
Yeah.
Like, he shoots free throws. I don't know if he caught the end of the Denver Nuggets game. Jamal Murray tried to miss a free throw. Just threw a linea. Just like a Mariano fastball at the rim. Still made it. Like, some guys make when they miss. Trace Jackson Davis shoots the same way, but it does not go in. God love him, though. But the Warriors is a, I don't know, the Warriors is a team, the free throw shooting, I think it's a problem, but it's not a problem that I think over the course of time is going to kill them. It might be something in a playoff game that arises.
Well, you can't do what you did against the Clippers. Like, that's something you can point out and saying, look, if we just made a quarter of our free throws and didn't turn the ball over as frequently.
Yeah, I think they went 9-for-19.
Yeah, you were winning that game.
Well, also the game against Houston when they blew a 31-point lead, I think they missed close to 20 free throws in that game. That was how the Rockets got back into it. So missing free throws is I think it's a momentum killer. I actually don't think that this Warriors team is one that I would prefer to take a lot of free throws because it feels like that also ruins their flow. When they step to the line, not even if they make them, it just ruins the rhythm that I think their offense is built on. So
Jonathan Kuminga's got to step up and hit his free throws. Jonathan Kuminga.
He's been underwhelming at the free throw line, to say the least.
Yeah, he's been underwhelming his career. I like him. I was his biggest fan. But he continues on this trajectory of one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back. You know, we were talking about Podziemski
earlier.
He's
like 22 years old.
I know. He's a young man. And it's interesting you bring that up. So, because I think you're right. We have to give him the benefit of the doubt, do we not?
Well, I also think we have to do that with pods, too. Like, quietly, Podziemski is, I think, also 22 or 23. He's not old.
No, he's same
Podziemski's
age.
Part of me. I think he's 21.
What is he saying? I want to say he's 22.
He's turning 22 this year, but okay. He's 21 years old. His game is more polished.
It's interesting that you mention those two. Because Podziemski, as I talked about, he's in his own head about scoring. I think his scoring is going to come around. I think that he's just, for whatever reason, man, he's so focused on every shot as Draymond Green, you know, was able to point out. But he still, to me, is contributing to the basketball team. As we've talked about for a good portion of the early part of the show, is that he's still doing all the other things and making the right pass, balancing the floor, the rebounding. And so he's still giving you winning plays, and he's still very much on the plus side when he's on the floor. Jonathan Kuminga, if he's not scoring the basketball, is giving me nothing. Jonathan Kuminga is not rebounding. He's not taking charges. Jonathan Kuminga is a guy that, again, continues to be one of the more streaky, difficult guys, a paradox, trying to get your arms around and figure this guy out. And I do not want to hear any more of, well, he's adjusting to sort of this 12-man rotation, or he's adjusting to, from where a year ago he knew he was getting his minutes and he could shoot his way out of sort of a bad start. Now it's a little different for him. No, enough of that. This is the team. It's like hockey, right? You get on the floor, you've got a limited time to do what it is that you're going to do. And so he continues to be this guy that, while he's 22, I wonder this at times, Evan, whether he'll ever get it. You know? I think he'll always be a scorer. He'll be in this league for a long time. I'm just curious if he'll ever get that, the it factor of understanding what it takes to be a winner in this league.
Well, I was thinking about Kuminga. He didn't play very well last night against New Orleans, but I was thinking about Kuminga two nights ago because the hang-up in the contract or a non-contract with Kuminga this offseason, was, $5 million. Warriors wanted in the $30 million range. Kuminga wanted closer to $35 or above, probably. Sees himself as a max player. Take that for what you will. But a player that was taken, I think, one spot after him, Franz Wagner, had a 37-point performance, 11 assists, and hit a game winner against the Los Angeles Lakers. I think that was on Thursday night. Kuminga can't do that.
Where was Franz drafted?
Well, he was drafted right after him.
Exactly.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I don't want to rob Kuminga of the opportunity to flourish potentially later in his career. But what he doesn't have the luxury of, and the Warriors don't either, is time.
It's true.
He's young, but they have to make a choice about him. They chose to not extend a contract because they couldn't come to an agreement. But you look around the league, Scotty Barnes came back. I think he helped Toronto beat Minnesota the other night. He's in his class. Cade Cunningham's Detroit Pistons are actually not that bad. They're close to a 500 basketball team. He's in Kuminga's class. He got paid. There are a lot of players that are good in that class that still have room to grow. They're getting better. Şengün.
Jalen Green.
Absolutely. Jalen Green starting to emerge. Does Kuminga have the same potential they do? Maybe. Is he getting the opportunity that they have? Probably not. But let's say Curry goes down for an extended period of time, the way that Paolo Banchero, the Magic's number one player, is. I think he's coming back soon, but Jonathan Kuminga is not going to have, I don't believe, a game like Franz Wagner did against the Lakers, where he basically willed them to victory. Now, he got the benefit of, I think, two or three missed Anthony Davis free throws, but Wagner took that game over. Kuminga is not at the point in his career yet where he can take over basketball games. Even last year, when he had that extended stretch and he was scoring double digits, how many of those games is he going for 30? How many of those games is he winning and putting the team on his back? He's young. He's growing. He still needs time. But he's not at the point where all the players around him in his class are. And that's what makes it difficult for me to foresee the Warriors giving him big money, is that he just doesn't have that a part of his game yet.
Text line saying, imagine if we had Şengün. Oof. Bob Myers not...
Well, Devone would kick him to the curb for Trayce Jackson-Davis. That's his guy.
Yeah, they can play alongside each other. You can move Wiggins to the two. How about that? Wiggins the two, Şengün, a front court of Şengün, Trayce Jackson-Davis, and Draymond Green. Thank you, Bob Myers.
A lot of shooting, huh?
Bob Myers missed on Weissman, and it looks as though he may have missed on this draft with Kuminga as well.
All right, Myers was the president of basketball operations for both of those drafts. I'm not entirely convinced that he was entirely convinced about both of those players. I think the rest of that front office also needs to take some ownership for those picks.
It's a collective decision. Certainly Kerr's sitting in on those meetings. Joe Lacob, they let bark, and then once he leaves the room, they're like, okay, let's have the real conversation.
The Wiseman one, I don't necessarily fault them for. There's a lot of contextual factors that matter in that pick. Number one, they were always looking for a center of the future. Number two, I do think they believe they were done winning championships. Number three, the draft was the same day that Klay Thompson tore his Achilles. So that was a trifecta of, well, let's just swing big and hope and pray. Even though there wasn't a whole lot about Wiseman that you could even pull from.
You know who was also in John of the Kuminga's class is Josh Giddey.
And he's the only other guy that hasn't gotten paid.
Well, here's where I want to go with that. What is it with the guys from down under, from Australia, that refuse to shoot the basketball?
Well, he's not a very good shooter.
He's not, but he does it. He's a reluctant shooter. I saw them against Milwaukee the other night on a plane flight, and I watched like three quarters of the game, and he got in the lane. He was wide open for like a 16-footer, and he wouldn't pull the trigger. What is it about Australia? Andrew Bogut was the same way. Bogut, I still to this day, I don't know whether Bogut's left-handed or right-handed. Like, he would be 5 feet from the hoop, and he was an amazing athlete for a bit.
He had touch.
Hey, he was a number one player taken out of Utah that draft and went to Milwaukee. He's a hell of an athlete, but he would not. Ben Simmons is from Australia, is he not?
Well, yeah, and I don't know which hand he shoots with.
And he won't pull the trigger. Like, what is it from people from Australia that refuse to shoot a basketball?
I got a name for you. Keep an eye on Alexander Dukas. Plays for, not Doofus, Dukas. Plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Uh-huh. I think it was a free agent acquisition, signee, wasn't drafted. The only reason I know about this guy is because you're well aware of the pipeline over Moraga, California, that filters these Australians to one St. Mary's College. Yeah. Dukas can shoot the hell out of it. And I believe he was a 40% three-point shooter in college, or close to. That guy can make it rain. But the majority of them, you're right, like they're, thank you, the majority of them are big men, or I would say heady players. But like, I don't know, I think Joe Ingles is Australian, right?
He doesn't, well, Joe Ingles, yeah. Patty Mills.
Back in the day, yeah, Patty Mills can shoot. Joe Ingles used to be able to shoot. He's done. That's another part about the Timberwolves that scares me, is that their bench is atrocious. I was talking to Steiny about this. He thinks Mike Conley's done. So
I wouldn't go there yet. Speaking of bad benches, what's Denver going to do?
Russell Westbrook, baby.
Oh, man.
Dude, that team, well, first of all, they never really had a bench, though.
I'll tell you something. No, they didn't. Well, Christian Brown. But here is the, you want to know who the sixth man of the year is right now? Candidate?
Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield's one. If you get the next one, man, I'm going to jump over there and kiss you on that forehead.
The sixth man of the year.
Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield. And who am I?
Ty Jerome.
Oh, yes. Actually, that's a great call. Dude, he is balling.
He had 27 at the half the other day. At the half.
Everybody killing Ty Jerome a couple of years ago because he was playing over whoever. Ty Jerome could shoot it. He's not. Yeah. He's a solid player. The Warriors might have. Dude, see, the Warriors are just, they're just giving gifts away across the league.
I can't fault the Warriors for giving up on Ty Jerome.
Giving up on Ty Jerome. Now I got to push back on you.
Well, I think more that's more credit to Atkinson than anything else. I mean, they missed on Ty Jerome, yeah, but.
Well, I'm not going to give Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah, what's with the Kenny Atkinson hate? For whatever reason, you're not down with this guy.
I think he's fine.
You think anyone could have stepped in there and was plug and play?
Like, yes.
No.
Yes. Well, not anybody. Oh, you know another reason why Detroit's doing so well this season? Yeah, J.B. Bickerstaff. You know where he was head coach last year?
Yeah, I know.
The Cleveland Cavaliers.
I think Joey Mazz is also an underrated coach. I don't think coaching Boston and doing what it is that they did a year ago is, I don't think he gets enough credit.
Yeah, Anthony Lamb's not doing well, 5-0. The coach who does not have a pulse for his team, we just saw two games ago. And that is Quinn Snyder. First and foremost, you can't wear pink glasses to a game. I mean, Jesus. What are we doing? I'm sorry, man.
What is going on here?
He's always been a pretty boy.
Well, yeah, he looks like a Bond villain, but I don't appreciate the fluorescent bifocals.
Pride of Mercer Island. Poverty Rock.
He's such a dookie.
He's a dookie.
He's such a dookie.
Yeah.
He is such a dookie.
But I always tell you this, if it's so easy, then why, when Darvin Ham inherited a team that went to the Western Conference Finals the year prior, did he just screw everything up in L.A. last year?
Darvin Scam? I think that's what they're calling him by the end.
And I hate to say this, but J.J. Redick looks like a good coach. Ugh, that hurts. That's painful.
We'll see. I'm still holding out hope that he falls on a sword. Because that's typically what head coaches under LeBron James tend to do. All right, other side, one final segment here on Warriors this week. 888-957-9570 is the number. We can dig back into Kuminga. I also want to have a conversation about Moses Moody because he's a player that has, I think for his entire career, just kind of flown under the radar. But oh, yeah!
Warriors down two. Screen by GP2. Curry, bad pass to Wiggins, gets it back. Curry, pump fake, takes the dribble, rattles home the three ball. 72-71 Warriors.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, every single Saturday, 9 to noon. Warriors this week, 95-7 the game. The Warriors take on the San Antonio Spurs tonight in San Antonio at 5:30. Warriors live 4:30 with Mark Grandia, as always presented by Xfinity. I don't know if Wembanyama's going to play tonight, Dan. He's questionable. He's been out for a couple games, but
the Warriors... sophomore slumps.
What?
Bit of a slump.
Okay, so he's in a slump, but Bajemski's not.
No, Bajemski clearly is shooting the ball, yeah.
But...
Not a slump.
You wouldn't let me call it a sophomore slump.
Well, because...
Now my shoulders are slumped.
Because I think when you say sophomore slump, you're insinuating that he's not playing well this year. And I'm saying he is. He's not shooting it well.
I think Wembanyama's playing pretty well this year, outside of the fact he's been hurt.
Slump. Everything being relative, right?
Speaking of Pods and
because
Wemby,
what it is that was the expectations of him after last year were pretty lofty.
Oh, 100%. I mean, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Oh, you know, no, you can make the case that he could have been defensive player of the year in his rookie season. He's incredible. Do you remember last season? I forget which month it was, but Wemby was, you know, rookie of the month or something, and Pajemski came in second. And Pajemski quote tweeted the award rankings and said something like, he put his own rankings on there. He's like, I was first in plus minus. I was first in, I don't know, charges taken. And all these random stats, like Wemby averaged, you know, 25, 15, and 5 with 4 blocks a game over this month. And Pajemski was like legitimately peeved by the fact that he was number one in plus minus for the month and didn't win over Wembanyama. I mean, he is the most confident player on the Warriors. I firmly believe that. Although it is strange that he's quietly like a 65% free throw shooter.
Is he?
Yeah, last year he only shot 64% or something like that. Limited attempts, but still. That's right. I do have a man crush on Wemby 224. I do. And just like Wemby's Dan's got a man crush on TJD.
Wemby's got to learn to play inside. He's got to learn to play in the paint. I know it's a challenge for every European.
Well, he weighs as much as you do.
No, I'm seriously, this guy is, you know, it's so funny. I mentioned this last week. So I watched part of his game. And when he gets down on a post, he's getting rooted out by guys who are half his size. Like, I saw him against the Lakers, and Austin Reeves was rooting him out of the paint. I'm like, come on, that shouldn't happen. Like, there's Porzingis, there's such an uncomfortable factor to these guys when they have to play with their back to the basket. Mm. And there was a time when I was a kid, if you were 7 feet tall and you wanted to go stand outside and shoot a three, go back to take that slow boat back to Croatia because you were not playing in the United States. Get your butt down in the post with your back to the hoop. Give me a target with your left hand, and then I'll give you the bounce pass, or I'll throw you an entry pass. And we're so far removed from that these players today are so much more comfortable facing the hoop that they're a fish out of water in terms of, you know, getting in sort of that traditional position of where centers used to live and breathe back in the day.
No, I want Wemby taking threes.
No, that's part of his game, but it'd be nice if you can give me a little inside out. If you could be a little bit, you know, Evan Mobley. Mobley could shoot a three.
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, I think Wembanyama's in a good place.
Special.
Spurs are also not a bad team. Chris Paul's helping them a lot. Harrison Barnes is helping them a lot.
Yeah.
Again, Warriors just littered all over the league, Dan.
Yeah, Chris Paul's helping him a little bit. He's an old man.
He is. He's averaging 11-9 for my fantasy team, though. This is from the 510, the Comcast Business Text Line. Huge contributions from two guys who haven't been talked about, Jerry Stackhouse and Terry Stotts.
Good call.
Great offense and defensive coaching. I think, to me...
Both will be gone.
Well...
Stack, no doubts.
Stackhouse probably more than Stotts, just because Stotts has been a head coach before.
And he was a good one.
Oh, yeah, those Portland teams were overachievers. That was actually when I was living in Oregon.
McCollum Dame days, right?
Yeah, he was the head coach when they played the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. They had no business being there, those teams. That's where I think Dame gets a little bit underrated and will be at the end of his career just because he's kind of fizzling out in Milwaukee. Damian Lillard was a freaking bad dude.
He was
that dude
was control
as a one, maybe not the best, but he is one of the greatest to ever lace him up. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVoe. Let's talk to Gloria in San Francisco. Wants to chime in on Kuminga. Gloria, how are you? What's going on?
I'm doing great as we get a little break from the rain.
Yeah.
I want to just talk overall just about how gritty the Warriors team is. And I'm glad the caller gave or the text gave Stackhouse and Scott their credit. I think the Warriors' grit and their personality stems a lot from that. I think Kerr is calling a lot more plays. He's doing a lot more X's and O's with this team. And this team has played, and they're gelling, and they're playing another year together. So now the youngins are catching up, and they're playing Warriors-style basketball. About Kuminga, sometimes it's painful to watch him. He has all the skill sets, but his decision making, which has improved greatly, it seems like he's still forcing things a little bit. If we can remain patient with him, I think that he can become even more of an asset for us. He is one of our only true athletic players on our team. A lot of our other players are all skill positions. The way they're playing with their bench, I love it. It's suited for regular season. I wish they had more size under the paint, but having said that, I love their rebounding. They're overachieving in that area. Buddy Hill should be sixth man. I'd just like to know, do you think that they can sustain this type of play in the playoffs? Let's say if they could get a fifth seed. Mm. I'll take your comments off the air. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gloria. Well, I think we're still learning about this team, and it stems from the starting lineup conversation we had in the first hour. So I think there's going to be more experimentation. I think there's going to be more switching, or kind of the hierarchy of this 12 or 13 man rotation is going to change. And it's going to change on a given night. But I think that's my biggest question in regards to the postseason. I really don't think we know enough about this team yet to see how they'll stack up in the playoffs. I think that having a player like Curry obviously means you have a chance in any game, because on most nights against most teams, he's going to be the best player on the floor. And defensively, they appear to have bought in a way they haven't the last couple of years. I also think the fact that Andrew Wiggins is coming off the best week in his, I would say, well, not in his career, but coming off the best week in probably the last few seasons. Andrew Wiggins looks like 2022 Wiggins mentally. And I think it's manifesting itself in his play. He had 30 points for the first time in damn near a year last night.
I think for the Warriors or the Golden State, for the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs. Sorry, you got me in the middle of, for some reason, I went on a Doug Gottlieb tangent. I wanted to see how Wisconsin
where Green Bay was doing. Your mind goes.
I can't stand Doug Gottlieb, and I was just curious as to where Wisconsin Green Bay, how they were doing this year in college basketball.
He's probably more concerned about his radio show ratings.
You and I talked about this. How in the world can you maintain a radio talk show and be the head coach of a basketball team at a D1 basketball team in college basketball these days?
I'm just imagining us finishing the show. And then you and I driving to St. Mary's. Like, I have a game there later. They play Cal Poly at 5. But us driving to St. Mary's,
Coaching
and then
game.
You putting a suit on and getting on the sideline.
It's just, not in today's game. You got to devote way too much time to it. That aside, no, getting back to Gloria, by the way. Gloria, she called last week. Gloria, I want Moya. I want Moya, because Gloria's right on here. When it comes to the postseason, I think a couple of things have to happen. First and foremost, you have to find out who that number two is. Like, I think whether it's Wiggins.
I think it is Wiggins.
Okay, if it's Wiggins and this continues, that's a good thing. Otherwise, go get Jimmy Butler. Because when the playoffs hit.
Well,
because you don't have to give up.
My God.
You don't have to give up.
This was the guy that you were killing me for this summer.
Yeah, no, I don't want I'm just being facetious. I'm just saying you have to establish.
Wow, dude.
The number two.
Thank you, Chris.
You have to have the number two. That has to be in place. Because when the playoffs start and it's the last 3 minutes of a quote-unquote clutch game, you can't be, is it Wiggins? I don't know. Maybe Jonathan Kuminga. Let's get Buddy Hield free on a pin down. No, that has to be taken care of prior to the playoffs.
I actually don't think that. Look, Jimmy Butler was also a guy that I thought they might be able to acquire, but
it's
again,
too much money.
Well, he's an expiring. He's going to come off at the end of this year, I think. But he already said he didn't want to pick up his player option. He has a player option for next year, but he wants, you know, a new contract. I don't have the words to give it to him. The point is, I also think because of their number two, Wiggins. What do we talk about all offseason? If they're going to swing a big trade, if they're going to acquire a big money player, the guy that was going to be involved in any deal was Andrew Wiggins. Because outside of Curry and Draymond, he's the only one that makes enough money. I think Andrew Wiggins has played himself back into a guy that the Warriors will prioritize keeping instead of looking to actively deal, which they've been trying to do. I know that I haven't been the biggest Wiggins fan. The Warriors have been trying to move him for the better part of the last year. That has now changed. And it's changed because of his work. It's changed, unfortunately, because of some tragedy that befell him and his family this summer. But it has basically brought him back. And I think Wiggins looks free. He looks like he's playing with confidence in a system that is maximizing his skill set. And I think he's played himself into the Warriors' official number two option again.
And he's 29. He's in that sweet spot.
He's in year 12, but
yeah, he's
got a lot of miles.
No, he does. But he's still, you know, he's still on the right side of 30. Yeah, I think the number two has to be, if it's Wiggins, we need to see a lot more. See, here's the thing with Wiggins. Before we anoint him as being that guy,
yeah.
Here's the problem is that he has just a tendency to do that disappearing act. Like, where'd he go? What happened?
Well, literally.
No, I'm not even saying physically leaving the team. I mean, he could be right there on the floor, and you're still saying, well, what happened? Like, he just played 32 minutes? I don't even remember that. He has a tendency to go there. And so, if there's one player where you need to see sort of a longer sort of sample size of being who he is right now, it's I'm going to hold my breath and hold out a little bit longer. I need to see a little bit more of this from one Andrew Wiggins because of the past and the history.
I agree, but I also think that Wiggins, similar to... All right, you were talking about with Pajemski, one of the reasons why you wouldn't say that he's taken a step backwards is because, while he's not shooting well, he does other things, right?
Yeah.
He moves the ball, he can draw charges, he plays within the team, he does other things. I think that's where Wiggins is not... He's unlike Kuminga, where Kuminga... If Kuminga doesn't score, he doesn't help you. If Wiggins doesn't score... He's still your number one perimeter defender, or at least he's looked like it this year. I also think that quietly he took a step back defensively each of the past two seasons, especially last year. I think he was getting blown by a lot more than I've become accustomed to seeing. But this year, for example, against Dallas, he only scored 8 points. Like, he didn't light it up offensively, but the Warriors were able to secure that victory and come from behind because he was guarding Doncic, mm-hmm. who didn't score a single point in the fourth quarter of that game. So Wiggins is a player that I think also can help you when he's bought in, which he appears to be, on the defensive end, which appears to be the Warriors' calling card anyways.
Well, the buy-in is everything. That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's I think that's fair. You know, I think the criticism of Wiggins, and a lot of it's visual, right? He doesn't look like a very energetic person. Even at the podium, he had 30 points last night, and it was like he scored 2 points and his cat died. You know, you're not going to get that from him. But I think it's fair to wonder about that, just like I also think it's fair to wonder if Draymond Green can keep his mind frame in the same peaceful place.
Is Draymond Green a changed man?
No.
Yeah.
He's a ticking time bomb. But I don't think that bomb has to be Hiroshima like it was last year, with all due respect.
Shouldn't laugh.
No, I know. Sorry, bad reference. My point is, it can be a minor explosion, the way it was against Memphis. And I was actually delightfully surprised that after he got ejected from that game, that he didn't talk about the rest of the podium. Steve Kerr was the one that took a shot at the Zebras. Draymond let it go, and he was talking about like Macklin Celebrini and how he's a puckhead or something.
I think that when he got ejected from that game, it's just because he chirps the whole game. It gets to a point where it's just, I think, referees, because everybody's saying, well, why did you get ejected? What happened? Yeah, what? The incident seemed to be so mild. Why'd you get thrown out of the game? And I think refs, after hearing from Draymond through the course of an entire game, just get to a boiling point. Like, that's enough. Get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Draymond has to have, he's got to walk that razor's edge in order for him to be who he is, and, you know.
No, I agree. That is who he has to be. And I think that winning helps. It's obviously helped everybody. It's easier to buy in. It's easier to sit with a relinquished role. It's easier to play freely. And it's easier to have confidence that you are going to win games when you're 12-3. You know, I have questions about how the Warriors will react if they go through a slump. You know, if they... Yeah, 12-3.
Who's the best team if right now, as we just sort of, you know, look at the landscape of the Western Conference, who do you think gives the Warriors... Who stands between the Warriors and getting to the NBA Finals?
Okay, see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
Are they beatable? They beat them once.
Yeah, but Chet Holmgren got hurt.
Yep.
We haven't seen them with Hartenstein. I mean, Oklahoma City has not been at full strength the entire season. And they're still on pace for like 60 wins. So I think it's Oklahoma City.
And they do it with defense, too.
Yeah, they're really good. Yeah. Like, they're a team that profiles to have to give the Warriors trouble because they're long. They have a lot of wings. I mean, the Warriors basically tried to build their roster kind of around what I think Oklahoma City and Boston
Presti
did last year.
Sam Presti is a little genius, man.
I don't even know if he's that small, but...
He's small.
Is he?
Oh, he is so... Because he started with Seattle. I had him on my show. He is the most unassumed... Well, sort of like that... Is it Kevin Demoff? I think I told you the story. He's the president of the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
And I was speaking at an event, and he was there, and like during one of the breaks, I was struck up this conversation with this guy who was, I thought he was like doing janitorial work, you know, no slight against people that do a hard day's work being janitors. But I mean, mm-hmm. he just had these glasses and jeans and was very slight build. And he asked me where I was from. I said, San Francisco. I'm like, yeah, I hate LA teams. Can't stand the Rams. We're making conversation. I was like, who are you? He's like, I'm Kevin Demoff. I happen to be the president of the Los Angeles Rams. Sam Presti's the same way. Sam Presti, who is the GM, the architect of OKC, is just total egghead, full on egghead. But that team is, because when you think about cores, like that's what you want. If Jalen Williams, SGA, Chet Holmgren, I don't know, you can throw in Lou Dort or whomever. When your core is that good, but that young, they're like 20, I want to say 23 across the board. Like that, yeah. That's the envy of every NBA team. Because there's better cores out there, I think, or there's really good core. Like Denver's core of Porter, Gordon, and then you can throw Jamal Murray and Jokic, certainly the Joker. But they're like 30. They're 29, 30.
Well, they're also expensive. That's what the next decision that Presti's going to have to make is who you pay, how much you pay, and how does that affect the rest of your team? I think a reason why they are better than they were last year is because they were able to make a free agency acquisition like Hartenstein. They traded Josh Giddey, who kind of played himself out of the rotation at times last year. They traded him for a plus defender in Caruso. So they got better. The one thing... Oh, God, I saved this point till the very end of the show. I think Moses Moody's got to start.
I'm like Linda Blair in The Exorcist. My head went all the way around.
Moody has to start.
From Sam Presti in OKC, all of a sudden it's Moses Moody's going
to
start.
It is, yeah. Well, I had to make this point. I feel like I had a tease that didn't pay off. Moses Moody should be the starting shooting guard for the Warriors.
All of a sudden, we've been through Buddy Hield. We talked about Lindy Waters. We talked about Pajemski, and now... With 30 seconds to go on the show, you're just hitting me over the head with Moses Moody's the guy.
That's what I do. I left the brick at home, so I had to hit you with that.
Why do you like Moses? And why do you think he doesn't get run? Like, I always...
Because he's just a guy.
If we're sitting there scratching our head, I always defer to Steve Kerr, because he knows... He's behind the curtain. And if he's telling everybody there's a reason why I don't play. What do you think, Steve Kerr's an idiot? Or Steve Kerr wants to lose games? If Jonathan Kuminga's not getting run, if Moses Moody's not getting run, there's a reason for that.
No, but there's also room to question a head coach. Like, I think Kyle Shanahan's brilliant. I don't think he's had a great year. You're not firing him or anything. Same with Steve Kerr. I think that Moses Moody, if given the amount of minutes that Lindy Waters is receiving, the biggest reason I don't think Moses Moody played a lot last year is because he wasn't a consistent shooter. This year, he's shooting 41% from three. He's not as maybe laterally quick as Waters, I don't know if he does everything defensively that Lindy does, but I think he's pretty comparable. And I think that Moody's also a player that you've invested money into. They gave him 3 years.
Part.
Like, what are you waiting for at this point?
They disrespect him, but yet they recognize value because they invested in him.
He's also started, and I realize his starting stints weren't flashy. You know, he hasn't had a 30-point performance or anything. But I think with proper tick, Moses Moody is a guy that can help the Warriors with what they are kind of missing without Melton, which is a two-way player. I think Waters is a solid floor player. He doesn't raise your ceiling very much. He keeps the status quo. But the Warriors' starting lineup, I think, needs to be shaken up because it's the one area that they kind of get hurt at the beginning of games. And I thought last night against the Pelicans, for the most part, they got outplayed. So I don't know if it's Pajemski. I would lean towards Moody. But I do think the Warriors should and will shake up that two spot moving forward.
Yeah, I think you put a lot more emphasis on it than I do. I think I've bought into the 12 and 13 deep. So start whoever it is that you want. You know you're going to see GP2 in the first 5 minutes, and they'll play 11 guys in that first quarter. I like the hockey analogy. Just bring in
the line changes.
The line changes and guys going all out, knowing that you're going to go sit again. Like that's.
I think that works against bad teams. I guess. Because a lot of the questions we've had about today is how much staying power do they have? I think in the regular season they'll be fine with how they run things. You know, I guess I'm maybe getting a bit ahead of myself, but I'm wondering how they'll be able to play against the big boys.
You think you need to reduce that to the conventional 8 to 10 people?
Assuming that Curry or Draymond doesn't miss significant time, I think the Warriors have proven that they can win 50 games. This season.
I agree with you.
So, but they're going to do it with depth. They're going to do it with their line changes because they can take advantage of a lot of teams that are either top heavy and missing a guy, or the Warriors also have a level that they can get to, like they demonstrated against Dallas. Who is it? PJ Washington didn't play, but you know they had their big boys, Luka and Kyrie. So, the Warriors have proven they can hang and play with every good team in basketball outside of Cleveland. And now it's just about figuring out and kind of, I don't know, chipping away at the statue and making sure you're rounding into form.
Speaking of statues, did you see Dwayne Wade's statue?
You want to call that technically is a statue. What it is not is Dwayne Wade.
It's like somebody running from a burning building.
Dude, it's worse than the Cristiano Ronaldo statue. Have you seen that one?
What is that?
Go Google it after the show. You're going to be mortified.
I mean, how would Dwayne Wade even approve of that? Who is that person?
I don't think he did. He literally walked to the podium and said, who's that?
Who is that balding old man that they have up as a...
I don't know. Not one of the greatest shooting guards I've ever seen, that's for sure. That was disrespectful. By the way, we got to be done with statues. I know we got to get out of here in a minute. The Lakers have too many statues. Pat Riley. All right, is Phil Jackson next? J.J. Redick going to get a statue when they win a couple championships? And everyone gets a statue in L.A. All right, you got the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
That's what they do.
Give them a star. Put them in cement. But they don't need a monument wall of fame with just a row of statues. Monument Park. That's the one with the Yankees.
It's L.A. God bless them. It's what they do.
Just build LeBron a statue for crying out loud. God.
So one place where you can walk down...
Stay off social media.
You can walk down Santa Monica Boulevard, be 58 years old with a 21-year-old woman on your arm.
Belichick. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Warriors This Week.
And Robert Kraft, I want to say.
A lot of them, yes.
Wow, dude.
That's the real Patriots way. From 9 to noon every single Saturday, Warriors This Week at 95.7 The Game. Again, 5:30 tip, Spurs, Warriors, 4:30 Warriors live. Mark Graney's got you covered pre and post later on today. For Dan Devone.